go there and learn more about the persecuted church, ministering to them, serving them, and like this at this time to share with you some of the things I learned, some of my experiences, and some of the needs that there are in one part of the world in particular. So the photo here is of the Voice of the Martyrs head office in Oakville, which is west of Toronto, and I was able to meet a different people in the ministry and how get a better appreciation of how they serve and how they seek to share about this important work about being a blessing to those that suffer. All the different aspects of reporting and telling us here in Canada about things that are going on around the world. Communicating through the magazine and through the website and such. International projects. How that the money that we send to this ministry can be used to encourage and be a blessing to those that suffer for their faith. And being those that are raising a voice for the voiceless in Canada. I was also privileged to be able to attend their reception in Mississauga, where their main speaker was a man who was from Iraq, and he was directly involved in ministry there, Christian leader there, and seeing all the horrible things that have happened in that country the past few months. I'll share a little bit about that as we go on. So I just want to share a couple of some photos here. There's some staff people that were at the reception. There's the CEO of the ministry, and there's a vice president of international projects. I also met a man, V.G. Roberts. Maybe some of you know this man. He's from Ontario. He's actually an elder at one of the assemblies there in Mississauga. He's a full-time worker. He's also a board member with FBH and MSC, and he's also a volunteer with Voice of the Martyrs. He shares the ministry of Voice of the Martyrs with churches and assemblies around the area, and it was a real blessing to be able to meet him and talk to him about his the things that he does. Also, I was able to meet with the speaker, Andrew White is his name, there, and the director of Women's Ministry at Voice of the Martyrs, and this is Andrew White's assistant, one of his staff members. So it was a real blessing to be able to do that. And here's Andrew White himself. So I want to just give a little bit about him and his work. He's a Christian leader in Iraq since the late 1990s. His ministry includes a church as well as humanitarian work, reaching out to both Christians and non-Christians in the area. And also, especially since the rise of Islamic State this past summer. I have a quote here from Maclean's magazine, secular magazine. Iraq has always been a dangerous place for White. Over the years, there he has been beaten, held at gunpoint, kidnapped, and held hostage in a room surrounded by rats and dismembered fingers and toes. It got to the point where he could travel only by armored car, accompanied by as many as 35 security guards. But this past summer, with the rise of Islamic State, the situation became almost unbearable. Much of his staff had left, the death threats against him became more frequent and severe, and Islamic State issued a $57 million bounty for him, dead or alive. On top of everything, he has lived with multiple sclerosis for more than 18 years. So since he's not able to go back to Iraq, his ministry is based in Jordan and in Israel. So to give a bit of a context about Iraq, I thought it might be interesting for us to understand a little bit about this country. And even in the news, the secular media, we've heard a lot about this country with the rise of Islamic State, this terrible extremist group. And then what I have here is a map. The modern borders of this country is here, but also you see some familiar names, perhaps Bible names: Assyria, Nineveh, Nimrod, Babylon, Ur. I read that besides Israel, Iraq and the nations in the area consisting of Iraq is the second most mentioned nation in the Bible. I don't know if that's true or not. I would think that it would either be Iraq or Egypt, but it's definitely one of the top three. So the Bible is full of references to the nation of Iraq and the area around there. The names in the Bible would be such as Mesopotamia, land of Shinar, Assyria, the Chaldeans. Some highlights in the Bible would be, we believe that the Garden of Eden was in Iraq. It's the cradle of civilization. Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham came from there, the father of our faith. The northern kingdom of Assyria, northern kingdom of Israel was captured and ransacked and taken captive by Assyria. Jonah preached in Nineveh his message, where a great revival took place. The southern kingdom of Judah was captured by Babylon and taken captive, where we see the stories of Daniel and Esther happening in that area. So Iraq is a country that has been mentioned in the Bible significant amount of times. And there is a past. We're going to be looking at the present, and there is a future as well. So just some history of Iraq, some modern history. It was part of the Ottoman Empire up to World War I. After that, the British took it over, set up a monarchy, and eventually gained independence. Then the rise of Saddam Hussein back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and his Ba'ath Party that set up a dictatorship that lasted for 40 years or so. Iraq invades Kuwait, starting the first Gulf War in the 1990s, where they were, where the U.S. and the coalition forces had defeated Iraq and brought them under and freed Kuwait. And then, of course, since 2003, there's been a U.S.-led invasion of Iraq with their coalition partners in occupation that lasted for a number of years. And we see the downfall of Saddam Hussein as he was tried guilty and found guilty, and he was executed. Since that time, since the U.S. has left the country, we've seen the rise of extreme groups, Al-Qaeda and such, but probably the one that we're most familiar with is Islamic State. ISIS, as they're also mentioned, and as I said before, this past summer, 2014, even the secular media, CBC, Maclean's, CNN, BBC, has ran a number of articles and segments on the suffering people because of Islamic State. I want to read for you a couple of emails from MSC. MSC is the missionary service organization that the assemblies use for their transferring funds and supporting missionary work, assembly missionary work. Here's a couple of emails from August of 2014 from MSC. Simply from a worker. For the past months since ISIS overran the city of Mosul in northwestern Iraq, we've been following the news and trying to get specifics from fellow believers in the region. As usual, after the initial shock and devastation, news headlines have since turned their attention elsewhere. The conflict in Gaza seems almost like a deliberate attempt to distract people from the real catastrophe unfolding in Iraq. Most don't realize this, but thousands of ancient Syriac Christians populate the ancient lands around Nineveh, which is modern-day Mosul. Although some are merely Christians in name, many are sincere followers of Christ, and there are even some converts from Islam among them. In the past weeks, ISIS has delivered an ultimatum to the Christians of the region to either convert to Islam, pay a high tax of subjection, or submit to the sword. Most Christians have chosen to flee, and yet even Then they were not allowed to take anything with them. There are many reports of Christians being stripped of their valuables at ISIS checkpoints as they try to flee north. There are also credible reports of rape and pillage. I contacted a good friend of ours who was pastoring the Kurdsman church in Erbil in northern Iraq. He confirmed our worst fears and added that some of the converts in ISIS-held regions have been beheaded for abandoning Islam. He wrote that the situation in the north of Iraq is chaotic with a surplus of refugees from Mosul. Thousands of Christians and Shia Muslims, stripped of everything, are seeking refuge. Most are trying to escape the country as they continue to fear for their lives. The churches have opened their doors to as many as possible, but the needs are overwhelming and the future is grim. In his letter to me, he commented at length on the conflicting views. Some are supportive of ISIS, others are terrified, even while the local militias are hard-pressed to hold a line against them. I write this simply to urge you to commit this horrendous development in prayer to our Father who sees all. The news agencies may not be able to report the horrors taking place in Mosul, and the West may not want to acknowledge the human catastrophe playing out in Iraq, but God cares and so should we. And then 2 weeks later, again from a worker, many of you are aware of the escalating humanitarian crisis in northern Iraq. We've had the privilege of helping in a small way through friends in that region. A Christian student has been busy distributing food stuff he bought with money from the Magusa church. When the displaced Christians he was ministering to asked where the food came from, he said, simply from Turkish Christians. It was a real shock for those suffering from radical Islam to be helped by former Muslims. Later, our friend went further and distributed aid to the Yezidizi, which is another religious group that is in that area, and also displaced Shia Muslims. Again, they were shocked to be getting aid from Christians. And then it goes on from there. So we see basically ISIS rose and destroyed everybody in their path, whether it be Christians, whether it be other Muslims who didn't hold their views, or other religious groups in the area, in their quest to set up Islamic State. Then another report from CBC says, Iraq's Christian community was already under pressure before ISIS militants marched onto the scene last June, planting their black flags in towns across northern Iraq and ordering Christians to be converted or to be killed. The number of Christians living in the country is reported to have declined by up to two-thirds in the bloody decade of sectarian strife that followed the U.S. invasion of Iraq back in 2003. They estimate in 2003 there was 1.5 million Christians, and now there's roughly 400,000. So in 11 years' time, more than two-thirds have fled, emigrated, or were killed. In this past summer, at least 100,000 Christians have fled the ISIS advance across Nineveh Plains in Iraq, a country which has been home to one of the oldest Christian communities in the world. Some of you have seen this symbol on Facebook or Twitter or wherever in the news. There have been protests using this symbol. Even apparel has been made that has this symbol. What does it mean? It's the Arabic letter N. In Mosul, ISIS militants marked with a spray-painted N, the Arabic letter for N, all Christian property to be seized after the ultimatum. N is the first letter of the Arabic word for Christian, Nazarene. Reminds us of Nazi Germany, doesn't it? Where the Nazis would place a mark on the Jews' homes as an identifier for their, so that they could be eliminated. So this symbol has been taken up by Christians around the world, standing in solidarity and fellowship with those that suffer in this part of the world. Here's a picture of this symbol on a Christian's home, targeting them for seizure. Interesting how much territory ISIS has taken over in just a few short months, much of northern Iraq and northern Syria. What to do? What can we do? Well, we can't give people back their homes. We can't give people back their loved ones. But we can pray. We can get behind a ministry like Voice of the Martyrs and their efforts to alleviate some of the sufferings of those who have suffered tremendously for their faith. At this time, what I'd like to do is show an interview by Andrew White, the man that spoke at the reception in Mississauga. He did an interview on Huntley Street during the week that he was at the reception. And he talks a lot about the things that he talked about at that reception. And it's very powerful, some of the things that he shares, some of the struggles and difficulties that Christians have gone through this past few months for their faith. I'd like to give a bit of a context here as well. He's a Christian leader. He's an Anglican man. So he's part of that tradition, but he doesn't emphasize it. He's simply talking about those who suffer for their faith. He's an evangelical man, saved man, I believe. And as the letter from MSC mentioned, the Lord knows those that are his. And they are true believers in every denomination, every faith community, every Christian faith community. Everyone who is truly born of God is a brother or sister in Christ. So we need to take to heart what he says about those who have named the name of Christ and suffer for their faith in this country. And there's also some footage there from Voice of the Martyrs that talks about that was recorded as late as just November, December of this past year. So what's going on there, and that happened in the summer, the aftermath is still happening. People displaced, refugee camps, still trying to find relatives, loved ones that have been separated, trying to grieve for those that have been lost. And so I'd like to just show this video now. And for those of you who have small children in the audience, you may want to distract them for the next 15 minutes, take them out of the room. There's a few things that he mentions that are quite graphic. So I'm going to just share that at this time, and I'll come back here and close off my message.
Said, Andrew, face the fact that you're worth more to us alive than dead.
Oh, indeed.
So.
This must just be, I mean, I have four of your books here, Fighting for Peace in the Middle East. It's never been this bad.
Never.
You've been involved. And ISIS is not going away. We've had projections of, you know, count on 20 years of this oppression and violence.
It's horrendous. Horrendous. How people are being massacred, slaughtered, literally cut in half. You know, the thing which is so terrible is that so many of our people fled Baghdad because they said Baghdad was too dangerous. There were bombs and attacks in Baghdad. So they fled back to the traditional Christian homeland, which was Nineveh. Hmm. the place where the miserable evangelist came by a submarine.
He's talking about Jonah, in case you're wondering what that's all about.
2,700 years ago.
The whale got him there.
Yeah.
And he succeeded in his mission. You said everyone in Nineveh is a Christian.
700 years later, another miserable man came, this time called Doubting Thomas. He told him, "Did you know your Messiah has come?" And every one of them who believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob turned to Yeshua, Jesus. And until 4 months ago, Nineveh was all Christian.
Wow.
And one of the bishops said, last Sunday, there was no communion in Nineveh for the first time in 2,000 years.
So
our people have gone.
Now some of your staff are actually caring for those who have fled, for the refugees.
Most of my staff now are in Erbil in the north, looking after our people. One day, only a few weeks ago, one of our men said, "Abuna, Abuna, our Father," that's what they call me. He said, "I'm so sorry. Will Yeshua, will Jesus forgive me?" I said, "What's wrong, Elias?" He said, "ISIS came into my house and they said to me, 'You have got to say you will follow Muhammad, that you will become a Muslim. Otherwise, we will kill all your children.'" He said, "I said it. I said those words." But he said, "You know, Abuna, I love Yeshua. I love Yeshua." I said, "Elias, Jesus knows you love him. Jesus knows you always love him." 2 days later, the story was a lot worse. ISIS came in. And they said, "Jamal," they said, "we're not asking you, the father, anymore what you think, whether you will say the words. We're asking the children. They've got a choice. Either they say they follow Muhammad or they die." And the children held each other's hands. And they said, "We have always loved Yeshua. Yeshua has always loved us. We will never say anything against our Yeshua." They shot more dead. All four of the children were shot through the head. That's just an example of what our people have been going through.
Their courage and their commitment.
And now so many of them have fled up north and fled to Jordan. And we're trying to look after them. I spoke last Tuesday night. I spoke at a service for them. There were 1,500 Iraqi Christians at church on Tuesday night.
Amazing.
Nobody else could fit in.
I want people to see a couple of the pictures from the refugee camps. One in particular where they have a tent for Jesus. They've made their own sanctuary.
Tent up in the refugee camp for Jesus for Christmas. And they have this refugee tent. For Yeshua.
Wow, it just hearing this pulls us out of, the thing we've made Christmas. And I hope it has us all on praying ground. You're working with the Voice of the Martyrs, and they have wonderfully provided some very recent footage for us.
Voice of the Martyrs Canada is like no other organization in the world. It was there with us in Baghdad at the very beginning when things were really bad. They were there last week seeing what's happening to our refugees. And they are not some distant organization. They are part of us. They are our family.
Well, let's take a look at just what is happening with some of our brothers and sisters in Iraq.
195 Christian families, that's 825 people, along with 25 Yazidis families, came here to Hazani. They gathered from eight neighboring villages. They were chased from their homes in places like Mosul and Karakash because of Islamic State, also known as ISIS. When they came, they received Bible Plus packs from the Voice of the Martyrs.
And suddenly a guy coming from in the bus from ISIS people, and just take her, yeah? Take her daughter from her. And she started crying, and her husband didn't see her. He said, like, what's happened? And she said, like, they take my daughter.
They come in the night when Kurdish force withdraws from our areas. So the ISIS come in the night, in the about 3 or 4 a.m.
You had 18 families in your church, 70 people. ISIS came, you had to disperse, people left. You started the church, you were the church planter. How did you feel when the congregation all had to flee?
He said that was so difficult. He said, when you plant church, and I spent the whole time since 2006, built that church, built that home. I felt this is something from me, this is my body. Was so difficult, especially when you see people just left their home walking. This is my people, this is my nation. And I just felt like I'm so sorry.
When we heard the news of this terrible situation, our hearts started to cry for you, and we started to pray very hard.
لما سمعنا الأخبار والأشياء اللي عانيتوها فيها قلوبنا صارت تبكي على موتكم وتتصلي على موتكم.
We told people about your story, and they had tears coming down.
خبرنا كل العالم على قصتكم والناس بدموع بدها تستقبل هاي الكلمات.
And we asked them, please, not only pray, but give some money so we can help.
Thousands of Christians have fled here to Iraqi Kurdistan, having left behind jobs, homes, and in some cases separated from family members. Many of them escape with just their lives. These Christians are now facing an uncertain future. Christians from around the world, including Canada, have been coming to the rescue of these refugees. Christian refugees are living in tents, churches, and for 200 families, that's around 1,500 people, have found shelter in an unfinished mall in Erbil. While they are grateful for the help, they really want to go home, but realize that won't be a possibility anytime soon. Reporting from Erbil, Iraq, for 100 Huntley Street, I'm Greg Musselman of the Voice of the Martyrs Canada.
Persecution.net, if you would like to help those who are helping our brothers and sisters who are on the run, who've been dislocated, who've had loved ones murdered, who've seen terrible things and who are standing so strong for Jesus. The Reverend Dr., let me get this right, the Reverend Canon Dr. Andrew White.
A canon is either a big shot or a loose cannon.
Well, you're both.
And I'm both.
but mostly a loose cannon. And we're just so thankful you're out and safe, living now in Israel primarily.
I'm divided between Israel and Jordan. A huge number of our people have moved to Jordan. They are living in squalor. They have nothing. No food, no proper housing, no education. And our attempt now is to create a school, proper housing, provision.
Well, you gave us three P's last
time.
No,
four now.
Oh, you've just added a P.
Yeah.
So, protection, provision, perseverance.
And peace.
Oh, peace. You're the man of peace.
We need peace. We need protection. We need provision. So we have got to give and help our people. It's just so expensive. It used to be $177,000 a month. Now it's over $100,000 every week, just providing for our people.
I'm surprised St. George's, your church, is still up and running, right?
It's
there in Baghdad.
It's still functioning.
And medical?
Clinic is still functioning. School is still functioning. ISIS have not moved into Baghdad yet.
So we have a lot to pray for. And you have a website that will keep us apprised of what you're doing.
I do almost daily updates, and people can sign up to my updates or my Facebook updates and see every day what is really happening.
FRRME.org. Let's remember the Word of God says when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. Our family is in great distress.
And all of our family.
All of our family.
And VOM Canada are here with us.
The voice of the martyrs. Great teamwork. And
it is. Really is. Who would have thought from one of the hottest countries in the world to one of the coldest, God is there.
Well, here's the other tragedy. We're pointed to the very cradle of civilization.
Yeah.
The Garden of Eden. The place where it was so beautiful.
Abraham was in Iraq.
And look what it's the enemy is just raging.
And now.
But God
is still there. And soon, and very soon, we're going to see the King.
Amen. Please keep well. Please keep us posted and please keep coming back. We are praying for you and with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate all that you are doing for us. We are your family. We are your brothers and sisters. We can't survive without you.
Report that we've heard, and yet at the end, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And he actually sang that song when he shared with us his story at the reception. Is there any hope for Iraq? Interesting verse in Isaiah. It says this, in that day, which is a future day, I believe the millennial kingdom. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, which is Iraq. The Assyrians will go to Egypt, and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and the Assyrians will worship the Lord together. In that day, Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. Lord, the Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people. Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. So there is a future. There is a hope for the nation of Iraq. And God will fulfill his work. And in the meantime, though, we have much to be thinking about, much to be in prayer about for those who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, name the name of Christ, and are willing to lay down their lives for their faith in him. Even children would not deny the name of the Lord Jesus. Quite an example. That's all I have to share this evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the information that we've been able to receive from various sources about these things, the suffering of Christians in Iraq. Our hearts are grieved, overwhelmed with staggering suffering that has happened, and we've just heard a little bit. Much has not been reported. Much has happened that we don't know anything about. And we really don't know what to say or even what to think sometimes about when we hear such things, such tragedies. And we just have a hope. We have a hope that the God of this world, the true God, will do what is right on this earth. And that Satan, the God of this world, will not have the ultimate victory. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the true God, will have the victory. We look to that day in great hope. But in the meantime, we suffer with those that suffer. And we remember them who are in chains and those that are lay down their lives for their faith in Christ. We pray you give grace for us this time, another week ahead, safety in our travels home. Bring us back together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.